First of all, I have just great admiration for them and for their courage in coming forward at this time. And I really hope, and I think it is their hope I join, and their hope that if there is anybody else who is suffering in silence, the way they speak of suffering in silence these 40 years, that they would be encouraged by them to come forward.
Yeah. Do you believe them?
Oh, absolutely. Of course I do. And let me just explain something of the history. It is clear from my files that Bishop Hegarty believed them.
Mm-hmm.
They made statements to Bishop Hegarty and in September of 1994, and he clearly believed them. Suppose they get a question that rightly arises for people is, why was he still in ministry for the next 8 years?
Mm-hmm.
By the standards of today, there's no good reason for that. What did happen was that there was psychological assessment sought, which is, I think, what people thought was the right thing to do in mm-hmm. those days. He went to two places. One was in completely walked out, and the other, I can see from my files, gave a glowing report saying that this man was not a threat to children.
Mm. How would one square that circle then in believing the allegations, but then having someone determine that this person was not capable of such an act? How do those two things sit together?
I don't know. I'm not defending.
No, I'm not for a second, Bishop. I'm not implying you are, but you have seen these documents not privy to them.
Yes, no. I think it was a... The assessment was this man is not a threat to children. Mm. That was what came out very clearly. And a recommendation that he could be a priest and reliably so.
And who would consider that report and accept it?
That it came in. Bishop Hegarty was only bishop for another 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
It was under him that...
So he would have listened to the stories, but then he would have received this report and...
I think the report came in after he had already gone to Derry.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been in the time of the diocesan administrator and consultors.
Now, the sisters claim that at some point they were shown a letter signed by their alleged abuser confirming...
Yes, indeed.
Does this document exist?
It does indeed, yes. Mm. Yes, it does. This is now 2002,
yes.
When Bishop Boyce has been in the diocese mm-hmm. for some years. He says in the files that he had considered the matter dealt with, and yet there's this slow process that you can see over those years. The church is beginning to be clear. There were no guidelines in 1994. There were much clearer guidelines. And by 2002, Bishop Boyce saw that he needed to revisit this because the advice to him was one can never be sure that someone who has... who has done such things can be reliable. And at that stage, he sought the permission of the two sisters to send the allegations to the Gardaí.
Mm-hmm.
And so the diocese called in the Gardaí and gave them the statements that had been made to Bishop Hegarty.
Now, would you say at that point that that now becomes a criminal matter?
Yes.
And that
yes.
That the the church, at least in terms of what it's supposed to do to try and bring about justice, had done really what is set out to do, what it could do.
At long last.
Mm.
There was a delay, but yes.
So the reason why this may or may not proceed as a criminal case, that's a matter for Ungáda Síochána. It is. And whatever,
that's right,
whatever engagement they had with yes. the people. What do we know why this letter signed by Con Cunningham was only presented and not given to the sisters? Would that be common practice?
That I don't know. I know that they saw it. I don't know whether I presume that a copy was not made, okay. but it does exist, and obviously it is available for their site.
Okay, Bishop. Now, in terms of you quite rightly point out, eventually, in the early 2000s, do we not need to investigate who else knew? That's one of their questions. Who else knew? Who colluded? You know, that would allow this person to continue to serve. And I mean, that's, do we not need, so we, for us to have full trust going forward, does there not have to be a full forensic investigation as to who knew what and what else was going on?
No.
And is that business for the church to do, do you believe?
I think that such a thing, you know, we heard talk of a forensic review. That is a thing for the Gardaí.
Mm.
And I strongly encouraged
okay. But do you not believe you have any role to ensure, and I am very conscious that there are amazing priests out there who this is incredibly difficult for them, nothing, and they would never say that because they would always be thinking of the victims and they would never put themselves even anywhere close to that on a level. But they're is the church not responsible to absolutely ensure, in other words, anybody, are you confident, right, that anyone who may have been involved in a cover-up or in similar activity is not currently having access to children or currently, you know, practicing in the church?
One can never, listen, I can't.
But do you not have a responsibility to ensure that is not the case? That you can't just say, right, the Gardaí need to look at it. I mean, there's not a million people around at this time. We know how we got to where we were at. Are you fully satisfied that there aren't people who may have colluded or who may have aided in the management of these paedophile priests, as the sisters described? Are you satisfied that you've done all of you can to ensure that these people are not in active ministry, that they are being dealt with?
I believe that I have, and I'm the kind of thing you're talking about is some sort of a...
I've been sent names, okay? I would never divulge those or whatever, but there are people out there who know the very people I'm trying to be very careful how I allude to.
But there needs to be due process, and the only kind of due process that could be involved in a thing like this is a statutory thing. And I have said that I'm completely open to a statutory process.
Okay, but this statutory process, we're relying on outsiders to find the answers, okay? And they have to look very specifically in the place to find those answers. I'm talking about the church being a little bit proactive, right? And I'm sure you could ring around, okay, and people that work for you effectively will tell you what I'm talking about here. And you could say, right, actually, maybe it's a time that we pointed in a direction for the authorities to look at, rather than hoping that they stumble across a document or a piece of truth to finally get to the answers. In other words, the church can be proactive if it so wished to.
No, I do think you have to remember that today every priest is a mandated person. Mm-hmm. Consequently, every priest who has any suspicion of any suspicion of child abuse is mandated by law to report this to the Gardaí, or to see that it is reported to the Gardaí. That was not the case until 2017.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, like, when people say so-and-so knew and did nothing, they are not talking about a crime. Like, there would have to be a... in order for people's rights to be respected, there has to be...
But nothing can surely come ahead of the victims' rights and their search for truth and for answers. Nothing can come ahead of that, surely. Like, I'm not saying that we name and shame a whole batch of people and, people's reputation. I'm on about the fact...
Exactly, what are you about? What would be done?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. There's people that feel that there are still people within, active ministry who would have been involved perhaps in the management of these situations and the covering up of them, or disregarding what two sisters come forward for a second time and explained because a report says everything is fine with this person.
But no, that precisely back in 1994 was the way it was. And
you're confident that you can do nothing now then to address that in terms of assisting in exposing anything or...
I don't believe I can do anything to expose anything in a way that would be fair. Like, a statutory process, if there was to be such a thing, would have to call witnesses, analyse what they did in the light of the time in which they did it. Like, it is an extraordinary complex thing that only a statutory authority can actually do.
Yeah, and just a word, I mean, a meeting was sought between you and I think Terry McGinn. You refused that meeting. Why was that?
If you remember, there was the Fine documentary, and there was a call for a forensic cold case inquiry. I contacted the Gardaí immediately because there was the implications that there was criminal activity.
Mm-hmm.
I said to the Gardaí, we needed them to look at that, and they set about doing that. And so, we have not heard the results of that yet. So, as far as I am and was
there's
concerned...
There's a bit of a roadblock here then, because obviously that was Martin Gallagher made that call. So if there is a statutory inquiry or something ongoing, you don't believe it appropriate to meet with victims, and yet... you are calling for the same in this case as it relates to the two sisters, Margaret and Paula, and then that would preclude you obviously then from meeting with them as well.
No. A meeting with. I am very genuine in my desire, which I stated, to meet with victims. And in my short time here, I've been honoured by many victims who have come. Because they wanted to come to me as a bishop. I'm also aware that there are people who don't want to come to a Catholic bishop or a Catholic priest or have anything to do with this. But, the invitation to victims was not the same as an invitation to meet with a group of journalists and a former police.
I understand. Bishop, what do you want to say without my interrupting you?
That... The Catholic Church in the past dealt very poorly with these things. And certainly by today's standards, it was tragically badly. I believe that slowly, and we can see over time, we have learned, as have others in our society. In our diocese today, every year we have 200 people training as child safeguarding personnel. We vet 1,500 people, so that in every parish there are people who are very committed to being the eyes and ears of society to ensure that children are safe. So I think I need to say that and to say that we take very, very, very seriously our duty as mandated persons. Anybody who makes an allegation to our designated liaison person, Margaret Northage, or to me, or indeed to any priest, can be certain that they will be welcomed. I do want to say, with regard to the two sisters, the thing that is utterly inexcusable is their their statement that for all those years they did not feel supported or cared for by us, by the church. There is no contextualising of that. There's no excusing it. That just is inexcusable. I believe and hope that that is not the case today. With every effort I have, and I know Margaret Northage is, if anything, more committed to ensuring that any victim who comes forward, and if this, the publicity around this, moves anybody to come forward, I would hope that they would.
And in fairness, when you do everything that you are supposed to know, I say you sort of mean generally speaking, this is referred to Gardaí, and that there is an onus to one, and a few people have pointed this out, there is an onus on the Gardaí to pursue this as well.
Yes.
That, in other words, and this is my words, not yours, the church can't be a fall guy in this either at the same time. If you are doing everything that you're supposed to do that's been agreed to do, there is a responsibility on Gardaí Síochána, where it is possible, and the DPP, to progress these cases, because ultimately it will be in a courthouse where, you know, decisions on guilt or innocence will be made.
Yeah, that's true.
In fairness.
Yes.
You know, and I think we have to be fair on that. Bishop, you're happy? There's nothing else you feel you need to add?
No, thank you.